We open our Bibles this morning in the book of Genesis, chapter 43. 43rd chapter of the book of Genesis, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. Genesis, chapter 43. And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn, which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt thou ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether that ye had a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state, and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. And I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame for ever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land, and your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took the present, and they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home and slay and make ready. For these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us, and fall upon us, and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass that when we came to the end, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of a sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, Peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon unto them. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. We want to learn more from him today. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before thee now as we open the scriptures, and as we meditate upon it and study it together, we pray that we might know the leading and the guiding of thy Spirit. And we pray that thou wilt speak afresh to our hearts. O God, lead us into all truth and guide us, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We find here that the brothers have returned home without Simeon. Down there in Egypt, they had a soul-searching time. On their way home, one of the brothers opened the sack. And there he found the money that he thought he had given for the grain down in Egypt. The Bible tells us in the 42nd chapter that fear gripped them. In verse number 28, it says, and they were afraid, and their hearts failed. And you remember whenever that happened, for the first time in their speaking, they mentioned the name of God. They asked the question in verse 28, what is this that God hath done unto us? Whenever they came home, they recalled their experience, of course, to their father Jacob. They gave him a true record of what had happened down there in Egypt. And as they all emptied, each one after the other, emptied out their sacks and emptied out the grain, they too found the bundle of money in their sacks. The word of God tells us in verse number 35, they were afraid. And so we find that these bold and men of the world, it seems now that there's a fear that's gripping their hearts. We find that Jacob cries out in despair in verse 38. My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead and he is left alone. If mischief shall befall him on the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. He also cried out in the end of verse 36, he said, all these things are against me. Now Reuben had spoken to his father, and he said, Father, I want you to send down Benjamin. The man has asked for Benjamin. Send Benjamin with us. In verse 37, he says, and Benjamin spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. What a statement to make. And yet I do believe that Reuben here was earnestly trying to tell his father the urgency of the hour, and they needed to send Benjamin with them. But his father said, my son, verse 38, my son. But they were all sons. But he's speaking about Benjamin, the son of his love, in the stead of Joseph. He says, my son shall not go down with you. He was speaking to them as if they were strangers in the family, that these were not brothers, that this was not indeed, that they had not the same father. And can you imagine the tension in this home because of the rebellion, or the statements that Reuben made and the rebellion of their father in their reply? Then we notice as we read this passage of God's word, God providentially works up. We were looking in the Bible class this morning how that whenever Abraham was desiring a wife for his son Isaac, that even his servant as well as Abram believed in providence, in the providence of God. And now we find that providentially, even though Jacob doesn't want to let Benjamin go, we find that providentially God has a way of forcing Jacob down a path that in himself he didn't want to walk. It was a necessary path to walk. It was a path of discipline. And yet he did not want to walk it. But we find that God providentially is working out. And God is working out a plan. And God will force him down the path until he says, take thy brother with you. Take Benjamin with you. And God forces Jacob to surrender to his will. Maybe there's someone here this morning in God's house, and God is speaking to you about something, but you're rebelling. You're not willing to let go and let God have his complete way in your life. You haven't surrendered everything to him. There's something that you're holding back from God. And my friend, God will work providentially in your life until God brings you to the place where you say with the words of the hymn writer, I surrender all. Friend, that's an important thing, that you surrender everything unto the Lord. Do you remember whenever the prodigal was in the far country? And my, he was, I'm sure many times he thought about home, but he never desired to go home. Even when he was brought down to the depths of despair. And it wasn't until he sat at the pig trough, and my, no man would give unto him. And he started to desire the very food in the pig's trough, because that was all there was to eat. We find that he says, I will arise and I will go to my father. God providentially worked until he forced the prodigal home. And my friend, I'll tell you this. If you do not bow willingly to the Lord, God, because he loves you, child of God, God will have to bring circumstances about that you will bow, because every knee shall bow, and God's people must bow to the will of God in their lives. And sad to say, only too often we are unwilling to bow, we're unwilling to give in, we're willing to come to our senses and to surrender to the will of God. And so God providentially works. The grain runs out. And friend, even when the grain ran out, and as the father, as old Jacob looked at the grain running out, I'm sure the boys came to him and said to him, Father, you know the grain's nearly finished. But the father still wouldn't give in. He would not give in until it came. And he came to the place when he said, in verse number 2 of chapter 43, he says, go again and buy us a little food. My God is working out the circumstances that Jacob is trying to, he's not willing to give in. But I want you to notice it says, he says, go again and buy us a little food. You know, in those circumstances, my God is working providentially. But you know, Judah, Jacob's son, he says, Father, here's the truth here. Here's the bottom line. He said, if you send Benjamin with us, we'll go. You see, Jacob thought they could slip down and get little food and get away with it. But Judah knew that the man down there in Egypt said, if ye bring not your brother, you'll never see my face again. And they knew the thing was serious. And friends, sometimes, you know, we think God's not serious whenever he starts the disciplining process. And we still rebel against him. And my, we have got to see God is serious. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Because we're not willing to give in, even when he chasteneth. God has to deal with us further and even to deal with us in a more harsher way, because he loves us to take away the rebellion of our hearts. And so we find here that Judah turns to his father and he says, Father, I want you to know this. It's useless to go. We will not go. The man says, except you bring your brother with you, you will not see my face. And Father, he meant it. He really meant it. This is serious business. Then he turned to his father and he said to his father, he said, Father, verse 8, send the lad with me and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. You see, even the children, the father was so rebellious. He didn't even look at the little children. He was thinking of himself and he wasn't thinking about even the little children that were going to die. So this was serious business. And Judah brought his father to the place of decision. He had a decision to make. Now notice something happened here. Notice something happened here. Because if you notice in verse number 6, it says these words. And Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had a brother? Do you notice the change of name here? Because up to this moment in the story, look at verse 36 of the previous chapter. And Jacob said, and you'll find that down the passage, verse chapter 42, verse 1. And when Jacob saw, he's called Jacob, but notice in verse number 6, The Holy Spirit of God changes the name, it says, and Israel said. And Israel said. Now, why the change of name? You notice that that was the name that God had given to Jacob. Remember there at the river Jabbok, God, he wrestled with the angel that night and he says, I will not let thee go till thou dost bless me. He was willing to go through with God. He was at the point of surrender to God. And God says, from this time, he said, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, but thou shalt be called Israel, because thou art a prince with God. His new name is Israel. But you notice in the previous chapters, even after Jacob, it was called Jacob. And now it is mentioned Israel. See, friend, to be honest, I believe that just as what happened at Jabbok, there was a struggle that went on. I believe that that's what's happening at this moment. There's a struggle going on in Jacob's life. There's a real battle going on. And it's a battle to surrender, to give up to God, to let God have his complete way. Is there a battle going on in your heart this morning, a struggle? Oh, it's so easy to say, go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay, the Holy Ghost will do the rest and give to thee God's very best. But there's a struggle going on because you're not going through with God. You're struggling with God, and that's exactly what's happening here. There's a struggle going on, but I believe that it's changed. His name's put back to Israel because God knows and God sees that this victory's going to be won. That this man is going to go through with God and go through and deliver Benjamin into the hands of his brother. Do you remember another name that was changed in the Bible? Abram. He was called Abram, and then God says, you're my friend. And God said, listen, I'm changing your name to Abraham. Significant thing about it is this, my friend. When Abram's name was changed to Abraham, the old name was never used again. That was the end of the old Abram. The name that was mentioned thereafter was always Abraham, because the new name represented a profound and a permanent growth in his character. God had changed Abraham even in his walk with God. But of course we find that in Jacob's life his name was changed to Israel. But it is not often after this that the covenant name, that new name, was used. It was quite often in the struggles that he had, he was still thinking like the old Jacob, instead of the prince with God. Now, of course, whenever Judah said to his father, he said, Father, he said, listen, send our brother with us. Verse 4, if thou wilt not send our brother. Notice how Judah spoke him. He says, our brother. Father says, my son. He didn't say your brother. My son. I'm not sending my son with you. Judah said, Father, send our brother with us. Send him. He was earnest. He was serious here. You know, Jacob was filled with self-pity with himself, because notice what happened here. In verse number 6, he says, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? You know, he criticizes his son for telling the truth. They told the truth. Mind you, maybe this is one of the first times they started to tell the truth. God had to cut them down until they did tell the truth. They were happy to live in lies and deal in lies before that. They lied to their father. But now they stand before this great man in Egypt and they tell him the truth. And the father criticizes them. You see, he's grasping at straws. He's sitting out at those who on this occasion were not to blame. Oh, it's so easy to blame everybody else. Friend, let me tell you this. These boys were not to blame at this moment, because they told Joseph the truth. And the sad thing is here is this, that he certainly isn't a role model for biblical leadership in the home. Here's a father, whenever it demanded leadership and to show forth the leadership, trusting in God, sad to say, he didn't do it. But I believe that what we find here in what Judah says to his father, it demonstrates an actual fact. There's a God's working in Judah's life. God's working in Judah's life. And he demonstrates leadership. Look at verse number 7. And they said, the man asked us straightly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And here, my friend, God is so working. What I see in Judah is this, that he's thinking of the welfare of others. He was thinking not of the welfare of himself, but he was thinking of the welfare of his family. And he reminds his father of the duty in verse 8. Father, you need to stop thinking of yourself. You've got to think of others too. And there's some people that spend their life and friend, all they're concerned about is me. My, me, and myself. Look in verse number 8. He says, and Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. Father, you have a responsibility here. Now I want to say to parents in the home this morning, you have a responsibility of leadership in your home. God has given you a responsibility. And Father, you've got to act as a leader in the home because God has given you that position. And many fathers, even in the rearing of their children, they hand the responsibility over to the mother and say, those are yours responsibility. Friend, they're not. God gives you, as the head of the home, father, responsibility, and I'll tell you, accountability too. You have a responsibility before God. And here was a man that was more concerned about himself. Me, me, me. What have you done this on me for? And his children and his grandchildren were nearly about to starve. And all he could think was about me. And Judah turned to his father and he said, Father, you let them starve. You let the little ones. Are you going to starve? The little ones starve. Are you going to let the rest of us starve just because of you? Because of you. It's about time you started to think about the rest. Friend, let me tell you, it's easy to rebuke others, isn't it? But I tell you, Judah was dead earnest here because Judah went further in what he said to his father. Look at verse number 9. And this is real leadership, friend. And this was real concern and this was real love. He says, Father, I will be surety for him. He wasn't letting anybody else take the place of responsibility. He says, Father, he says, I'll be guarantee for Benjamin. Do you know, my friend, that that's the first mention of suretyship in the Bible? He said, I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. Friend, let me tell you this. That's a picture of what Christ did for us. Because Christ became surety for all of God's little Benjamins to be brought safely home to glory. He says, Father, I'll be surety for him. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and me, my friend. He has become our surety. And thank God, he is our guarantee that he will bring the last one of us home. I'm not relying on me to get it to heaven. Thank God there's a man in the glory, his name is Jesus. And he says, Father, I will be his surety. And for every one of the children of God in this meeting this morning, Christ has guaranteed before his Father to be your surety. And he will bring you home.
safely home. Yes, some through the waters. Yes, some through the flood. Yes, some through the fire. But praise God, all through the blood.
And He is guaranteed to be our surety. He says, send the lad. Let me bear the blame forever. Friend, let me tell you, that wasn't an empty statement. Because it wasn't an empty offer. Look at chapter 44. It says there in chapter 44, verse 33, 34. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad. And let the lad, instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. Judah said, he says, take me. Take me. Friend, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ stood as our substitute. And He died in our guilty room instead, and He shed His precious blood. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by His precious blood. And then what did the father say? Look at verse 11. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take the lad. Do it. And God, He surrendered. He surrendered. You see, it was Judah's strong stand that God used to bring him to the place where he would surrender, where he would come to the place of faith and maturity. And he resigns himself to God's will and to God's keeping. Now, he didn't know what the future held in that. But thank God he gave up to God. Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to go through with God? You see, when we act in faith, you and I must trust everything to God, friend. In spite of all our doubts, and there was no doubt, Israel still had doubts. He didn't know what was the outcome. He had fears. But to act according to faith is to hear the word of God, is to believe the word of God, is to obey the word of God. And God forced Jacob to trust him. And that's what happened from verses 11 to 14. As I said, he didn't know how it was all going to work out. Because if you look at verse 14, God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. And then he said this, if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. He didn't know what the future held, but he just had to put it in the hands of God. And friend, this morning, let me tell you this. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your friends. Don't trust your wealth. Don't trust your influence. Trust Him. Trust the loving hand of God. The wise, sovereign hand of God who worketh all things according to the counsel of His will. And when you can't see, trust Him. Trust Him. Now Israel, of course, whenever he surrendered, he used wisdom too. Look at verse 11. He said, if it must be so, now do this. Take all the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the man the present. A little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh and nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sack. Carry it again in your hand, peradventure. It was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise and go again unto the man. You see, do you remember whenever God changed Jacob's heart there as he wrestled with the Lord and the angel of the Lord there at Geba? Remember, he was facing difficulties. He was facing the anger of his brother Esau. He was going to meet his brother. He had divided what he had, his flocks and his family and friends. He divided them up into different groups and sent them over to face Esau, his brother, and he believed that he was in danger. And in wisdom, Genesis 33 tells us that he had been richly blessed of God, and he sent gifts unto his brother, seeking to appease him. And Israel's learned a lesson here, and he says, you're going down to Egypt. He says, take with you balm, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. Those were things that were delicacies. And many of these were unlikely to be found in Egypt. And it would cost him greatly to give those things, especially at a time of famine. See, there's a cost to go through with God, friend. There's a price to pay. Go through with God, thy vows to pay. There is a price to pay. And so the strategy that Israel has here was the strategy he used with Esau many years before. And God providentially blessed it. Now, we haven't time to look at that. You can read it in the 33rd chapter of the book of Genesis. That was after he wrestled with God. And that brings us quickly to the reckoning here. And I believe here is where the victory comes. Look at verse 14. He says, "And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin." Now notice what he does. He says, "And God Almighty," you see, up until this moment, remember, the brothers, even down there in Egypt, they acknowledged, what is this that God has done against them? When they went home to their father, the father never talked about God. It was all about me. And all about mine and my family and my loss, and all these things are against me. Now he's coming out to victory on the other side. Becomes a prince with God, and he says this, "And God Almighty, give you mercy." You see what he does here? He invokes the name of Almighty God, El Shaddai. Who is that, friend? He was the covenant God of Abram. He now is invoking the covenant name of God. You know what he's acknowledging? He's acknowledging they need the help of God to change the heart of the ruler in Egypt. It's only God that's equal to this challenge. And I don't know what you're facing this week, and I don't know what you're facing today, friend, but let me tell you this. It's only God that can give you the grace, and only God that has the wisdom to help you to face the challenges that you're facing. He knew that they needed something. Notice what he says. "And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin." It's also interesting to note here. He says to send away. He didn't say to send back Benjamin to me. No, no. God's changing this man, isn't he? He says, it's always about Benjamin, it's always about Joseph. And the rest of the family, they were incidentals. A divided family. A father that seemed to love two sons more than he loved the rest. But notice what he says. He says, God Almighty, give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother. He's mentioning Simeon now first. And Benjamin. And God's working here. They're becoming a family again. Or maybe, in truth, they're becoming a family for the first time. A real family. And I say to families this morning, don't let anybody split families up. Let nothing that the world does, friend, try to split families up. And the world will try to split families up. May God give us love for our families. God has set us together in families. And there may be differences in families, but in God's name, God give us love for our families. The whole family. And just for some. You say it's easier to love some of them. That may be so. Thank God, I want to tell you, for the first time, this is God working. For the first time, God send your brother home. Your other brother. And Benjamin. You see, friend, God, I believe, is working. I'll show you something else. Look at verse 13. And this is God working again. He says, take also. He didn't say take Benjamin. What does he say? He says, take your brother. Your brother. There's a change too, isn't it? It's always Benjamin. Benjamin or Joseph and Joseph and Joseph. He says, take your brother. In chapter 42, verse 38, it is my son. Now it's your brother. He's not only simply Jacob's son. He's your brother. And let me tell you, my friend, in the family of God, we don't need to divide each other up. We should not try to hurt or destroy other brethren or sisters in Jesus Christ. Remember, he is your brother. Or she is your sister. There's enough of division in this family. It's about time the family was united. And I say this to God's people here today. The devil will do enough to divide us. We don't need to divide ourselves. We need to remember we're one. And it took Jacob a while to get there. But praise God, he's getting there. He's getting victory. And maybe it's taken you and me a while to get there, friend, but oh God, grant that we'll get there in victory in our lives and have a love and a desire for the family of God. We're part of a family that's been born again. We're part of a family. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. And when he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Is that true this morning? Honestly? Do we? He said, Almighty God, may and God Almighty. You see, with this we'll have to close. You see that, God Almighty? That was the name that God came to his grandfather with. Turn to chapter 17. verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old at 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. Said unto him, Abram, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee. And will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and so forth. And his father realized that this was Almighty God. He was making a covenant with him. And in his greatest hour of need, friend, when God had broken the selfishness, and when God had broken the rebellion of Jacob's heart, where he would surrender to God, then he cries out, and God Almighty give you mercy. He goes back to his father's God, because he realized there was no one else. The interesting thing is this. Whenever God revealed himself as Almighty God, or God Almighty to Abraham, God says, I am giving you seed. And I'll make your seed a mighty nation. And whenever Jacob cries out, may God Almighty give you mercy. You know what he was doing that day? He was sending all of his seed. All of his seed. All the seed that God had given him. He was sending them all to Egypt. With a human possibility that they would never return. Or that he would never see them again. And somebody said, and I was reading a commentator, he placed all his eggs in one basket. And then another commentator said, that's true, but they were in God's basket. Friend, this morning, be willing to go through with God. Go through with God, I beg you, in Jesus' name. And he asked that God Almighty would grant them compassion in the sight of that man. And it says in verse 15, the men took their presents, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up, and went down to Egypt, and stood before Pharaoh. May the Lord teach us afresh today. Bigger than all of my problems, we have an Almighty God. Sinner, trust him. Trust in Jesus. Thank God he's able to save the vilest sinner. And thank God he'll bring the last sin to glory home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word. Arise upon our hearts this morning. Encourage us in the things of God. Grant us, Lord, no matter what it costs, help us to go through with thee. It cost Jacob all. He had two sons down in Egypt, and he was sending 10 more. He's sending all his seed. And now he's left alone. Alone with God. And you give him the victory. Lord, write thy word in our hearts today. For Jesus' sake.